Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today.
Coming back home, or we are alone with ourselves, those noises are still kind of ringing, you know. I mean, certain things which keep on ringing in your head and you feel heaviness, you're not able to then focus or concentrate on your work, and something remains, you know, that continuation keeps on going. Then you go back home, then there maybe you switch on the television or you have something, other things, you're still not able to come out of it. And with that heaviness, you go to sleep. Now imagine if you're not able to kind of remove that and you go to sleep, you're taking it with you. Again, you wake up with a heavy head and you carry it forward, right? So it's like a clean surface, but if you don't clean it, layers of mud kind of then become concrete.
Hello, my name is Demetrius, and you are listening to Spaces Podcast Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. In today's episode, I'm joined by Nitin Govila. He's an engineer and meditation trainer. Interestingly, those combine to a fascinating intersection that he finds himself at and interests. He works at Serge Ferrari, a leader in the flexible composite materials sector. And in this conversation, we discuss the impacts of noise on mental wellness. So early on in this conversation, you'll hear me reference a particular study. I'll add some links in the show notes, but just to give you a sense of how impactful noise can be, it's a little bit different from where this conversation goes, but in the 1972 study, a group of psychologists led by Dr. Sheldon Cohen studied the effects of chronic environmental overstimulation in poor communities and the impact of traffic noise on children in urban environments. And it showed that children on lower floors of apartment buildings had worse hearing and reading skills in response to the body adjusting to the noise that they were exposed to. They took acoustical readings throughout the building. For example, on the 8th floor, they had a decibel level of 66, which is just slightly quieter than a running vacuum cleaner, and the readings decreased as they went higher up. So on the 32nd floor, the reading was 55 decibels, which is about the level of a conversation in a restaurant. In comparison between upper levels and lower levels, we found that the decibels were about 6 to 12 times louder on lower floors compared to the upper floors. So they discovered that school-age children that were living on those lower, noisier floors had trouble hearing the difference between two similar words like thick and sick. Another study showed that students who lived near the Los Angeles airport, LAX, had higher blood pressure and difficulty with problem solving and struggled with handling distractions. So it's a fascinating subject. Noise is something that's often overlooked, as you'll hear us discuss more in this conversation. Hopefully, all of this kind of changes your perspective on the importance of noise and mitigating noise in any environment that you're part of creating. So with that, we'll jump in. I hope you enjoy this conversation with Nitin Govila. Nitin, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Demetrius, for having me over. We are in the same part of the world, but still with a time difference. So that actually says a lot of how big United States is, actually. So.
Yeah, definitely. So Nitin, we're going to dig into a conversation about noise today. And just to kind of frame why I'm personally so interested, there was a study, I wish I remembered the date, but a study a long time ago that talked about the impacts of noise, particularly in a residential environment, and how it could impact your ability to learn and attention span and all these different things. So I'm really interested to get into this conversation with you. But before we jump into that fully, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and where you work?
Sure. So my name is Nitin Govila, as you just mentioned. So I am based in Singapore. I've been living in Singapore for the last 15 years. I'm an Indian national, but I've been outside of India now for the last 20 plus years. In my studies, I've done mechanical engineering and have two management degrees. In my experience, I've started with building materials. Then I went to Paris to do my MBA. After that, my whole journey since 2004 has been related to French companies. I've been working with French companies throughout since then in the building sector or home automation sector. And because I manage the business of Asia Pacific, Middle East and Africa, I'm based out of Singapore, continuously traveling. So that's about me in terms of brief. As a company, I've been working with Search Ferrari, my current company, for the last 6+ years. Search Ferrari is a world leader in composite material or composite fabrics. I mean, it depends on which part of the world you are. So some may say tensile membranes, tensile fabrics. Some may say technical fabrics. The general language which is accepted is the composite materials. And it's the only company which is transversal, that it's present across multiple market segments, catering to both interior and exterior needs, about which we will anyway talk about in today's discussion.
And then you have some side interest in mental wellness, right? We're going to talk about that a little bit as well. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah. So mental wellness, I would say, is a subset of that. I'm into meditation. I practice a system or a practice called heartfulness meditation. I've been associated again with this practice or this system of meditation for the last 20 plus years. I'm also a meditation trainer for the same amount of time. It's a practice which is available free to anybody who's above the age of 16. And it's a self-practice system. Obviously, there are trainers to guide people when they start the practice and on their meditation journey. But in the end, it's all about taking out time and doing a silent, heart-based meditation. And interestingly and importantly, we don't charge anything. So as trainer, I'm a volunteer. So I give my personal time to sometimes do conduct sessions for corporates, in groups, or one-to-one, or individuals, whoever would be wishing to learn about meditation or wishing to or willing to start this practice of meditation. So it's been a interesting journey, and that's where the element of how meditation can help you both internally, externally, on your mental aspect, on your personal aspect, and also in your both professional and other environments, it really plays a very important role and a key role if people are able to understand and experience for themselves.
Yeah. Okay, now let's get back to kind of where I started the conversation discussing noise. Where your two worlds collide, how have you found people that you've worked with discuss maybe any research or interactions you've had? Can you talk a little bit about the effects of noise on mental wellness?
It's an interesting question, and actually not many people, in fact, ask about that. And I'm happy that you are trying to focus on this, and as part of your different podcasts, this is a key element you've identified, because it's a much ignored element of discussion. Strangely enough, we face noise and we see noise everywhere around us. For sure, it may vary from country to country or from different parts of the world you are, depending, you know, the hustle bustle of a city, the density of a population, and all other elements which are playing the role. And sometimes it's also culturally, how we speak, how we interact also, that also plays a part. But yes, what people don't realize is, and I am able to sense that difference, is because I'm also into meditation. So when I do my morning meditation, say for 30 minutes, 40, 45 minutes, I'm able to go into that space within myself, which is a quiet space. And then if I'm able to do so and connect with my inner self, I'm not able to feel the noise or the sound around me. I may be sensitive enough that I may be able to hear the smallest of sound also very far away, because your mind is at rest and you can feel that, but it does not disturb you. So when you see that, what happens in that 30, 40 minutes, and then when you suddenly come out of it and you're able to suddenly feel the noise, you feel a disturbance in the wavelength and the frequencies. You know, suddenly you feel, oh, where have I landed again, you know, after this quiet time I had. And that's where you start feeling the difference or the relative aspect of the silence, the noise, the sound, you know, in that sense. And it's a much ignored fact. More and more when you go around in malls or on streets or in offices, and suddenly you see a lot of people talking, organizations are moving towards more open interaction spaces, more open spaces to have that feeling of belongingness, and more so after COVID to get people back to office so that they can interact. At the same time, the other side of that is, how do you manage that everybody can still work comfortably, not being disturbed by two other people or three other people who might be having a side chat or doing something else or whatever. Or if you go out for an evening, you can have a space for yourself in a restaurant there that at least you can communicate either with your team or your family members. And we don't realize that, because then when we come back or come to our own space, coming back home, or we are alone with ourselves, those noises are still kind of ringing, you know. I mean, certain things which keep on ringing in your head, and you feel heaviness, you're not able to then kind of focus or concentrate on your work, and something remains, you know, that continuation keeps on going. Then you go back home, then there maybe you switch on the television or you have something, other things, you're still not able to come out of it. And with that heaviness, you go to sleep. Now imagine if you're not able to kind of remove that and you go to sleep, you're taking it with you. In the end, then in the morning when you wake up, again you wake up with a heavy head and you carry it forward, right? So imagine this, I am taking you a journey of a day. If you add every day on it and you don't remove the burden or the trace of the previous day, it's like a clean surface. But if you don't clean it, layers of mud kind of then become concrete because you've not cleaned it and it's become so thickened. So it's the same analogy here, that if you're not able to remove that, at some point of time, you will feel so much kind of overwhelmed with this that suddenly you feel, oh, I need to take a break, or suddenly you will say a mental breakdown, burnout. That's a new, I mean, it's, I won't say a new word, but more and more talked about that. So all those things are connected, and it's all about getting the mind to rest. Part of it, which is coming also because of the sound and noise which is around us.
Yeah. And when you talk about that heaviness, that mud, we're talking about kind of like the stress that just kind of weights you down and constantly stresses you out, gives you this kind of anxiety. And we talk about the rise of anxiety and all these things that are happening now with mental health. Now, one of the things that people might be a little bit confused with is the difference between sound and noise. And what we're referring to is the impacts of noise.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit of the difference and clarify for people that may be a little bit confused? Because you alluded to being in an office and the open office and the sound that transfer. What's the difference from sound and noise?
Yeah. So I always differentiate between a bad noise and a good sound. So what it means is basically noise is like, it's a cacophony, you know, too many people are talking, too much reflection happening, too much echo happening, that all that is, you know, mixing with each other. You're not able to kind of differentiate between who's saying what, because there's so much side elements which are coming. Here I'm talking of a more open space. Now with sound, what happens is, even though people are in the same environment, but if you have the place designed in such a way that the reflection is slowed down, for example, in terms of the reverberation, then what happens in that sense is that you're at least able to hear each other clearly, even though other people are also talking around, you know, in that sense. Sometimes the best way to understand is, you are in a mall, okay, you're walking, or you're in a food court, imagine, and normally a food court is on the same floor where there's the theater there. Normally, that's the classical design. You go to the top floor, there you have a food court, then you are walking down to a theater. right? So the food court is classical open designs. You're sitting there, and imagine if it's a Friday evening, a lot of people are there. You really cannot even talk to somebody who's across your table because there's so much sound and there are hard surfaces, right? It's an maybe a ceiling is of metal or it's of glass. There's a lot of reverberation and the sound or the noise coming back. Now, the same thing if you go in a theater, while anyway we are kind of automatically tuned to talk, you know, softly in a theater, but even if everybody is talking, you don't feel that you're not able to listen to the person who's beside you. You know, you're still able to converse. The other person in front of you on the side is still able to converse. Why? Because the theater itself is designed in a way that they have a lot of sound absorbers. They have a lot of those kind of surfaces. Now, that's one extreme to another extreme. But I just want to take that example to say that that's the difference between noise and sound. Now, we don't need to design offices or workplaces or something to go to that extreme. We don't need sound absorbers. But what we need is all these hard surfaces, which are walls, concrete, metal, or all those things, even furniture and everything, which kind of sometimes reflects the noise much faster, you know, in terms of, and it goes in all directions. If at those areas, as part of the design of the space, you can integrate with materials which have a capacity not to reflect back the sound or the noise, I may say, then the sound which comes or the noise which comes gets transferred in a way as a good sound. So you could maybe on a wall put a fabric, for example, or you have blinds which have fabrics which can kind of absorb sound or do not reflect sound. You are doing lighting. Now we cover lighting with sometimes, you know, shades. Those shades, if they are covered by a certain fabric, or the lights which are on the ceiling are covered by fabrics, that they don't become like a sore in your eye, like it points out it's something strange. It's so much integrated in the design that you will not even realize that, but you are able to feel that comfort when you're in that space. So imagine you're doing it in a church or in a restaurant. You do it in a ceiling that it parts of integrates with the design of that space, or in our office, even the furniture material, what you use, that itself can then create that difference in terms of the noise and the sound. And obviously, you don't want to totally block people to speak or to make a soundproof space. That will not work either way. That's the other extreme I was talking about. But you just want to have a space where people feel comfortable, where they spend 8 hours of their day, 40 hours a week in the offices. The last thing you want is for them to go back heavy in their heads every evening.
Let's take a break to share a little bit more about our sponsors. Systems and standard operating procedures. You already know that's how to build a profitable business and find the freedom you want, but you struggle with choosing which systems you need most and how to implement those systems quickly so that you can get back to doing what you love most. This series will help. The Designing Your Business Masterclass series, created by acclaimed architect and business consultant Douglas Teeger, FAIA, aims to help fellow architects and engineers run their firms more profitably while maintaining a healthy work-life balance. Douglas grew his practice from a solo practitioner to a 30-plus person firm, then later sold his firm to do what he does today, help architects be more successful through Teeger Consulting. On the third Wednesday of every month, Douglas dives deep into an essential topic that will strengthen the profitability of your firm and make it sustainable for growth for years to come. Register now for the next Designing Your Business Masterclass with Douglas Teeger at bqe.com/masterclass and start implementing powerful systems for the profitability you need and the freedom you want. Every live masterclass session includes AIA continuing education credit, and when you visit bqe.com/masterclass, you'll have access to the full library of past sessions on demand. The Designing Your Business Masterclass is free, and it's brought to you by our friends at BQE, the makers of BQE Core. Register now for the next Designing Your Business Masterclass at bqe.com/masterclass. That's bqe.com/masterclass.
Hey, Demetrius here. As you may know, Spaces is part of Gable Media, the next evolution of interactive media and resources for the AEC community and beyond. Gable empowers AE professionals just like you to better serve the world. Now, Through the strategic development of a brand new membership platform, we are eliminating the traditional industry boundaries and information bottlenecks that we all experience. But we need your help. Please go to GableMedia.com/members and pick your top three initiatives that you believe will have the greatest impact on your growth, including a continuing education program, VIP access to expert forums and private Q&As, community boards, special freebies, and more. Go to GableMedia.com/members and let us know what you'd like to see.
Hey, architecture firm owners and emerging leaders. Get ready for unparalleled insight into the development of a world-class architecture firm and a worldwide organization driving the digital transformation of the design and construction industry. With Build Smart, the podcast that's changing how our profession operates. We share the incredible stories behind innovation in the building industry with my friend and co-host, Patrick McLamey, FAIA, former CEO of the international architecture firm, HOK.
You know, Yamasaki's office or firm lasted during his lifetime. And when he passed away, I think that was the end of the Yamasaki office. Helmuth did not want that. He wanted a firm that would live out and grow beyond the founders.
In season one, discover the untold stories behind HOK's meteoric rise from 150 employees in St. Louis to a powerhouse with over 1,900 staff members and 27 offices worldwide.
You know, they weren't as polite as the Kojima people. That was just boom. And anytime you have a creditor, whether it's Kojima or the bank, that wants their money, unless you can raise money someplace else, you are out of business.
Bankrupt.
Bankrupt.
And hold on tight for season two, where Patrick takes us on a new adventure as chairman of Building Smart International, shaping the future of digital transformation in the design, construction, and operation of built assets.
Ian Howell, Ken Harold, and I, Ken was my technical representative from HOK. The three of us took a tour of Europe of 5 cities in 5 days. Very busy time.
Simply follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Smart now and uncover lessons that will transform you and your architecture firm.
And now let's get back to the conversation. And you talked about, you called it good noise. One of the other things I heard about noise is, and the difference between sound and noise, is the idea of control and sort of expectation. Sound is something that you can expect and or have control over. And you alluded to being in a mall, in a food court area. You expect this buzz of noise, and so that it doesn't, or of sound, so it doesn't bother you. But if you're in your apartment and you can hear your neighbors through the wall screaming, fighting, and that's not something that you expect, that's where you get those spikes of anxiety, and that weighs you down and causes that stress.
Yes. So then what comes there is then how you design the buildings, right? So how you design the apartments or the buildings or the houses, then the material which you use plays a part. What I was talking was more in the inside part of the building, once the building is being made or the space has been made. But if you go a step further, which you are alluding to, then the barrier which has to be created. Now that barrier obviously has to be of a very different material and thought process in the way, the kind of material you want to use. A simple way of a gypsum board will not help. It may create a space for you, but you will be able to hear the sound. Sometimes I've traveled to hotels in Japan. There are hotels like that where you can hear from the side room. Okay, not so clearly, but you can still hear it. But in some other hotels, absolutely no matter what you speak, you will not hear unless somebody really is banging. So then it depends on the design of the space, how much element of that has been considered when the architect or the designer or the contractor is working on it. And that becomes very key. Now, often ignored part also comes is, are we taking into consideration of the weather situation when you're designing, right? For example, you design a sports arena or want to cover a tennis court or a basketball court or any other court, right? If you do with metal, for example, the rain knocking itself will create so much noise that if there's rain happening, okay, you're protected inside and a match is going on, but you will not be able to enjoy it here because the rain knocking would be so strong. So then the question is, in those kinds of sports spaces, imagine a swimming pool. Swimming pool water creates a lot of noise in an open swimming pool. And then you're not able to hear. I'm sure if you've gone there, you would see a covered swimming pool. Sometimes it's very difficult to hear because there's a lot of reflection. Yeah. They just do a metal, they just do a glass. Now, people don't realize that, but these are also spaces where more and more, I think what is happening as the new spaces are being designed, people are getting more considerate and conscious of that. But that again is varying from country to country or designer to designer. But it's a very important factor there also, because that's enhancing the comfort event for which you have come for. The last thing you want, you already have the stress, you're supporting one team, whether losing or winning, and the last thing you want is to take the headache of not being able to enjoy it because there was so much noise from the outside which was coming in, and the space was really badly designed in terms of acoustics. Now, that's where the element of word acoustics comes, because it kind of integrates the requirement of a good sound or a bad noise or of soundproofing, whatever, depending on the space which the acoustician has been asked to design.
Now, how do we get everyone to start to shift their thinking on noise and start to approach the design of spaces with this in the front of their mind?
Well, that's a good question. I think we all who are in the industry have to play a role. It may be sometimes our selfish interest because we have products which are for acoustics and everything. So obviously, we would take the lead anyway to talk about it. But I think to also kind of educate when we go in seminars or in exhibitions, to kind of create those elements we have done in the past in my different companies. Even when I was in automation, we used to have a silent motor which you could do up and down an awning or a blind. And really, that makes a lot of difference. The last thing you want, you have a top management meeting and the blinds are coming up and down and it's making a screeching noise, right? So the one you want is timed and it goes up and down that nobody even notices that. So to create those spaces, even at different exhibition areas, to go and talk about in seminars, I've started seeing many big architect firms. They actually have acoustic experts now. So there are some architects who are kind of expanding their knowledge in acoustics, but not so many, I would say not so many firms. And obviously talk about these elements through different construction or design magazines. I think one thing I've realized after being in this industry for so long, sometimes even if it's taken as a factor of consideration and design, when the best practice or a unique project is presented as a case study, many times I've seen this element is not highlighted. They always talk about the aesthetics part of it, the motivation part of it, what was the trigger factor to think of this design. But very few times, even though it was taken into consideration as part of the design, somehow it's a missed element even talking about it. So I think times have changed. We see that in stadiums. We see that in covered sports spaces. I've seen a lot now in Australia, New Zealand, any surface which is sports covered enclosed space is designed. Acoustics is a standard element of that. Now, when that case study comes out, are we talking enough about it? That also is an element that it can create more exposure that, no, we did consider that. There is an element of noise when you're covering a swimming pool or a full, your sports area or like a basketball arena area or a badminton area, which is covered. But we also looked at this element when we designed that space or whatever material we used.
Yeah.
So I think, and like through coming through your podcast or people like you who would be taking a special interest in this would play a long part in this to bring awareness on that. And then acoustics as a field itself, if it can be introduced as a way of study, like in tensile architecture, I was not aware before I was in this industry. But then I realized in some parts of the world, tensile engineering or tensile architecture is a field of engineering. And you can actually do a 4-year engineering or a 2-year master's course also. Now, in acoustics, maybe there are, But how many people know about that? How many people are actually taking initiative to talk about that? And many students or people are going into this field. So it has to start at every level from all sides. And slowly, slowly, I think this awareness will come. Today, it's considered sometimes an extra cost and added cost to do all those things. And unfortunately, acoustics designs is equated to soundproofing, which is a wrong understanding. Because soundproofing obviously will cost a lot. And that's why people think, oh, if I have to manage acoustics, then I have to use soundproofing material, my cost will go up so high. So they ignore it. But it's not the case. Soundproofing for me is an extreme case, which maybe people like you would need in your studios or anybody else, which is really in those kinds of environment. But what we need is a good acoustics design. That does not require too much of cost elements to think of.
Yeah, it's a shame that people think of it as sort of an add-on, because if you look at it like a car manufacturer, they are designing holistically. They're designing their product holistically for their customer who's going to use and experience that product. Same way we do for our buildings, we should look at it holistically and taking into account things that impact that customer, like sound. That's a huge impact. So it's a shame that we don't think of it that way right now, but hopefully these conversations will help people start to shift.
And I think it will happen, because over the years, even before levels, before this sustainability thing came, people were not talking about how to use external light and heat to better design your buildings. Now you see that awareness already happening. So we don't talk about glare control, heat control, or light control, all those things. Now those have become standard part of the designs, at least in many parts of the world. So I suppose acoustics will happen, but yes, it's moving as of now quite slow. But the day it happens, then it would be the fourth element for people to consider in terms of when designing the space or the building.
Yeah. What's one thing that comes to your mind as a acoustic solution that people can consider right away?
I would say that they should not assume that if there has to be acoustics, then it's always panels or something they will put in a space, whether home, individual office or open offices or even restaurants or even hotel lobbies or malls. If they can think of that acoustics can be done very nicely as part of the design, then it will become very easy. And there are materials like that. So obviously, we being in fabrics and composite materials, we have very different kinds of fabrics, which can also be used as blinds, ceiling applications for furniture also, which are flexible material. You can print on them. So you can use it as the space. I'm sure there are also other materials which are available in the industry. And if people consider that way, then it will not damage their overall internal design or inside design or interior design aesthetics. But at the same time, they will be able to get this functionality. And I don't think so cost-wise, it would be much of a difference. Yes, maybe you need a service of an acoustician just to help you understand. That's it. But other than that, the materials, whether you use one blind of one material or a blind with a little bit added feature, I don't think so it will add too much of anybody's cost.
You talked a little bit about fabrics, and that's kind of what you guys do. Give you an opportunity to fully explain what it is that you do. Can you talk a little bit about the product that you guys have and how are people typically using that?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, Search Ferrari. So that's the name of the company, Search Ferrari. It's a French company. We are in multiple market segments. So what I mean is that, so if I talk about the main core strategic segments, so if it's solar protection, then we have products for blinds, awnings, acoustics, ceiling, and pergolas, the outdoor restaurant or outdoor eating spaces, which is a new concept. Then we go on a technical side of it. We have fabrics where you can do stadiums, airports, all big amphitheaters or structures, where the fabrics and the structures can even last 25, 30, 40 years. Then we have fabrics for your tents, event tents, modular, like if you go to a safari tent, or a holiday hotel you can create. And then finally, we have fabrics for furniture and marine protection where you're in extreme temperatures and climates and weather situation in oceans. So we are primarily a fabric maker in that sense. So all our fabrics will come in roll form. And depending on the market we are approaching to, you will go to the manufacturer or a fabricator, as we call in our industry. So if I'm in blinds, I will work with a blind manufacturer. If I'm in tensile structures, I will work with a tensile fabricator or a furniture maker. So those are the guys who will take our fabric, convert it to the necessary requirement which the final customer wants, and either supply it as a product to be installed, or if it's a big structure, they will go to the site, use their technical knowledge, software and everything, and design the structure and install it. So we are primarily a B2B company. So if somebody wants to know or contact us or wants to have our fabric, they will contact us. We will understand their needs, and then depending on who they are. Now, if it's an architect, we will go and meet them depending on what they require. If it's a final customer or an end customer, then we will connect them to the necessary companies who will be using our fabrics for their requirements. So basically, that's the way we work, and that's the way we can be contacted through our website, or one can write me an email also, and then we can take forward the discussion. So we will never be a fabric that you go to a fabric store and buy our fabric, because it's a technical fabric. It will not be like that. Yeah, that's the only difference, I would say.
So this is a, like you said, technical fabric that I assume there are probably various types for different applications. Yes. And you can apply it custom however you need it to different shapes and things like that.
Yeah, we call it a free-flowing material. And that's why in our logo, you'll see a feather, which means that it's lightweight but free-flowing. Then after the technical aspects of it, you can design it in a form that it can take a shape. And when it takes a shape, depending on the application, you can even give a life of 5 years till 30, 40, 50 years life on the structure.
Got it. Thank you so much, Nitin. How can people follow along and find out more information?
The best way would be to go to our website, which is www.sergeferrari.com, SergeFerrari, Ferrari.com. Or, I mean, they can obviously, through your podcast, write to me. I'm nitin.govila@sergeferrari.com. That's my email ID. Or they can put in a request at our websites, and depending on the country, then the request will go to that respective person in that country, and they can revert to the respective person with their for whatever information they're looking for. Look on LinkedIn also, Search Ferrari, and we are on LinkedIn, Instagram, and on Facebook also by the name Search Ferrari.
Got it. And we'll put links to all of that in our show notes. But thank you so much, Nitin. Really enjoyed this conversation. And thank you to the listeners for listening. We will talk again on the next one. Thanks. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to check out our sponsors. By checking them out and supporting them, you help us keep this show going. Thank you to BQE, the makers of BQE Core, for their support of this podcast episode. Visit bqe.com/masterclass to register for the next Designing Your Business Masterclass. Thanks again for listening. Spaces is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. If you enjoy our show, you can support us in three simple ways for free. You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app if it allows you to. Tell a friend and follow us on social media. Thanks for spending time with us. Talk soon.
I've mentioned it to my family, but in terms of telling people like, oh yeah, we're doing this, I'm looking for projects, you got anything? Yeah. I'm not there yet because it scares the shit out of me.
Dreaming of launching your own architecture firm? Well, buckle up for a wild ride with Emerging, the podcast that shares what it's really like to start an architecture firm.
Where do we begin? We don't even know what type of business to formalize as. Is it an LLC? Is it an LLP? Like, how are taxes? I mean, the list is astronomical.
Season 1 featured founders Jeffrey, Lexi, and Chris,
owners of Level Studio Architecture, are your fearless guides on this unfiltered journey from napkin sketches to a thriving studio.
One evening, stumbled into one last dive, we sat at the bar and pondered our postgraduate futures. Amidst the conversation, a napkin became the canvas for our aspirations, sketching plans and milestones, sealing our heartfelt commitment and shared dreams.
In drawing down dreams on a napkin collectively, that then, you know, in your head, you've rooted like, oh, I'm connected to these people, like long term.
The process of starting an architecture practice brims with excitement and challenges, demanding meticulous planning, flawless execution, and unyielding resilience.
I kind of hate the term because it's so overly used, but I think everybody knows imposter syndrome. And I think it's so real to this day. I don't know if it's with everybody, but with me, I'm always questioning like, us, can we do this? Are we ready to do this? Are we prepared? Can we do it?
Did we just decide a name?
We did it, guys.
Oh my God.
The one that came out of nowhere.
Woo! It came out of nowhere. I liked it. I saw it.
Ready to turn your aspirations into reality? Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Emerging and chart your own path to architectural success.